everyone. Welcome to an all new episode of the Not Safe for Work podcast. We are back. I usually talk about the weather, but it's been gorgeous all week. So I'm
Kirsten.
It's been beautiful.
And it's going to be beautiful. But it's going to be hot as fuck.
Hot as shit.
90s. Oh, it's actually gone down.
Yeah, slightly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the meteorologists on the news are like,
yeah, bro,
it's dry.
It's dry. Hot and dry.
It's going to be hot and dry, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been interesting. I'm not mad at it being gorgeous because I love when the sun is out and the birds are chirping in the morning. It's great. Mm-hmm. But boy, oh boy, is it getting hot quick these days. Like,
it's hot.
If you miss that 8 to 9 window of being outside to get shit done by 11, it's 85 already.
Yeah.
It's. Summer is here, y'all.
Real hot girl summer. Literally.
For real.
Literally.
But yes, how was your week?
My week was good. So much going on with this wedding approaching. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, we won't be here next week, y'all.
No, it's a lot. We are 1 week away.
Yeah.
From Deja's wedding.
Literally. And I'm like,
almost over.
Yeah.
Almost over with planning and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then on the day of whatever ain't done, it just ain't done. Oh, well, move on.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, so just, you know, 9 million things moving and yeah. How about yours?
Week was good. It's been pretty chill. My team, they've been powering up like the Avengers per usual.
Aww.
To meet our goals.
That's good.
So, yeah, no, I'm proud of them. They're doing great. So I can't complain. I've been having to give advice to another manager who's going through some of the things I'm going through. Not quite where I'm at just yet.
Hopefully it don't get there.
I told him I hope it don't, but no, other than that, it's been chill. Me and Marlon went and looked at some houses yesterday. Actually saw some that we liked.
Nice.
So we'll see about that. They were gorgeous houses, new neighborhood. So he was like, I love this place. I was like, oh Lord. But other than that, it's been chill. Not doing much. Chillaxing. Marlon officially starts his own business on Monday.
Yay.
So he's very excited.
That's
slash
awesome.
Nervous.
Congrats to Marlon.
Yes, tossing and turning because he's excited slash nervous, all the above, which is to be expected. So I was like, go do something fun today.
What is he going to do today?
He's bike riding right now. Mm-hmm. I said, just go get some of your nervous energy out and then you'll be fine. So, but other than that, my week has been pretty easy.
That's good.
Yeah. Can't complain. Shall we get into some hot topics?
Hot topics.
To start with, Joe Biden has already told us that he will not be coming to save us with student loans. He was like, I think it's Elizabeth Warren and Chuck Schumer that are asking for $50,000. And he very quickly was like, no. But even the $10,000 one, we don't know if that'll ever happen, even though that is one of his promises that he had, and that's pretty much why he was elected.
Joe's really been, I wouldn't say that's the reason why he's been elected.
No, but it was a big part, outside of us trying to get Trump out, of course.
He's just been disappointing me this week, left and right. This week was not a good week for you, Mr. Joe.
It was rough. I was not pleased, none too pleased with Mr. Joe Biden. Also, let's get into Simone Biles real quick.
Yeah.
What's the name of the tournament that she's doing right now?
It's basically just a pre-qualifier for the Olympics.
Right, for the Olympics, which I'm like, when I saw, I think that's what I saw, but I was like, yeah, no. Why does she need to pre-qualify? It's Simone Biles.
You gotta pre-qualify every year.
I know. But it's one of those, like, so y'all just really wanted to see what she was coming with?
No, niggas fall off.
No, I know. But Simone Biles has showed us that she has not.
No, she hasn't.
I don't even know how to, the Yurchenko, the double pike for, she lands the
that one.
Double pike for the first time in competition. I don't know how many flips is in this damn move, but it's a whole
looked
whole
like
lot.
It was about four.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
And she landed on her feet, which is great. Of course, they've already kind of told her there's certain moves she can't do because it's too challenging for other people. They don't want anyone to get hurt. So, in a way, the Olympic Committee kind of holds Simone back because it's like,
I mean, she can still practice them.
Yeah, I'm sure she's still out here flipping and doing wild shit just because. But I do look forward to seeing her in the
Fuckboy Olympics. I'm already salty with them.
Why?
First of all, Japan is having a little bit of a corona spike, yes, and they're just trying to ignore it.
Yes.
Okay. Second of all, players cannot wear any type of protest gear.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Nothing about Black Lives Matter specifically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything. I will say they said nothing
mm-hmm.
Black Lives Matter or anything else. But it's also just like, fuck y'all and y'all nationalistic country. Like,
mm-hmm.
y'all have y'all's own problems that people probably want to protest. But mm-hmm. that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from this year's Olympics, the Winter Olympics, there's all this hoopla. People are wanting to boycott that.
Really? Why?
Because it's in China.
In Beijing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in Beijing.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know what really blows my mind? That Beijing, I've been to Beijing in the summertime, and the fact that they could hold a Winter Olympics there, and that was literally probably the hottest place on earth I've ever fucking been, really blows my mind. Like, how can you get that cold and that hot?
Yeah,
my God,
interesting.
But
two extremes.
They people are wanting to boycott them specifically because of the treatment of Muslims that have been taking mm-hmm. place in China,
mm-hmm.
in certain parts of China mm-hmm. for years. But it's just now really like getting the press, Brooklyn. Especially in the
yeah.
U.S.
Yeah,
where they basically have like mini concentration camps for Muslims, where and their whole basis is we're trying to reduce terrorism, and this has worked. But there's a number of violations of human rights, torturing, basically holding people there without like their will, sterilization, all kinds of things that they're doing to these people who are basically trapped. Some people there. I was listening to a podcast this week and somebody managed to get out and they're living in Turkey now. And that's how they were able to kind of speak out on what they had been through. But yeah, so we'll keep an ear out on how that is going to impact China holding the Olympics potentially
the Winter Olympics potentially
next year. And also, I'm kind of just like, can we get out of Asia?
Yeah, it's been very heavy in Asia.
The Winter Olympics were in Korea.
Yeah.
Here we go with the regular Olympics in Japan.
Tokyo.
I mean, we've already had the 2008 regular Olympics in Beijing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a massive call for them to just cancel the Olympics altogether because of the fact that corona is
still very much a thing.
Because y'all just completely think that shit just evaporated.
It did for me. I got a vaccine. It didn't evaporate, but.
But we good.
Dr. Fauci said, I'm good.
Yes, he did. Who still looks amazing for 80. I'm still baffled by
that.
After
the year he's
had. Right. So we'll see what happens with the Tokyo Olympics. It's a lot going on as far as track and field and the Olympics have just been a shit show, honestly. So I've always enjoyed watching the Olympics. I've always looked forward to it. Last year, that was literally the only thing I was looking forward to because wasn't shit going on.
Not now.
And so then they canceled it. So there's that. So we'll see. And I think that's also why they're trying to ignore corona being a thing, because they just want it to happen so bad. And it's a money thing.
They want the money. Yeah.
It's a money thing. I mean, I told y'all last
week. They spent a lot of money on it.
Hell yeah. But everything is rooted in capitalism. Let's just be very clear about that. Money will always be over people's safety, people's health. Hence why they keep trying to tell people that, if you're vaccinated, you can go and be outside with a bunch of people, even though there's no way to check if people are vaccinated or not.
Mm.
But that's neither here nor there.
Mm.
I'm going to get off my soapbox. Nick Cannon has his seventh child. I counted. I think we're right at seven.
Oh God.
There's Monroe and Moroccan, the two with the Brittany girl.
I think it's Morocco.
Oh, Monroe and Morocco.
I think so.
Oh,
don't quote me on that, but go ahead.
Roe and Rock. Let's just call them that.
Mm-hmm.
Those two twins. And then the twins with the other girl. Then the two with the other girl. We're at six.
Oh my God.
Then this other chick, I don't know her name.
The Wildin' Out Girl.
Is it a Wildin' Out Girl?
The one that was announced this week is apparently a Wildin' Out Girl.
Got it. And she just says Zen S. Cannon. Someone asked, is Nick the father? She just put a bunch of like heart emojis.
Bitch. So,
You know, Nick has told y'all that the Lord told him to be fruitful and multiply. Go ahead.
I need more detail. How did the Lord tell you this?
That's just what he said. He said the Lord said be fruitful and multiply. So I'm just going by what God has said.
And I got questions. I got questions.
Keep in mind, all his babies are beautiful. They are. But Lord, like, and the thing is, like, it's not like, okay, he got this girl pregnant. They had the baby. You know, there's like three women pregnant at the same time.
I got questions.
That's the thing. You got the girl with the twins. And then, well, technically just two women, I think. We don't know. We'll find out at some point. Nick Cannon, I mean, hey, he's got the funds.
I got questions.
So, you know.
At some point, we've got to evaluate the mental health of someone that keeps participating in these activities, mm-hmm. and the mental health of those that are willingly like signing themselves up. Well,
we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. It could be just polyamory,
you know,
a polyamorous lifestyle, but it's not polyamory because polyamory is like everyone can have exactly. somebody. But this is what polygamy. There's a difference, right?
Well, he's not married to any of them.
I know, but still, you could still be polygamous or a pluralist, I think. I've been watching the Seek and Sister Wife show on TLC. Very interesting.
I'm done.
I think you can be a polygamist and there's one guy and then multiple women and they have the babies and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's polygamy.
It is definitely polygamy. Mm-hmm. And why are we participating?
Some people choose to. Some people are okay with it.
Y'all, and I, you know, I just want to acknowledge that I was willing to join the sisterhood.
Uh-huh.
But it's just too much. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. And I'm still concerned about the STDs. Because although we mentioned, like, the girls, he just keeps adding on.
Yeah. And he already has an autoimmune disorder or disease. Like, let's chill.
Let's be careful.
Let's chill.
Let's stop nutting in
women. Random women.
It seems.
Yeah.
And my thing is, if you got one wildin' out girl pregnant,
how many more were like,
are you just sleeping with?
Yeah.
Show ain't been back with filming for about like what? Like 4 months? Damn.
Mm-mm. You know, hey,
mm-mm.
Y'all like it. I don't love it, but that's your business. That's your business, Nick. Baby number 7, welcome to the fold. And that's why Mariah don't want nothing to do with y'all asses. Nothing. Mariah said absolutely not.
It's just too much.
It's a lot. Whole lot.
Yes.
Blessings Ooh. To those babies, though.
Did you see my little tweet that went popular?
Mm-mm.
Regarding Nick Cannon. So, you know, that Haitian girl, Jessie
Wu. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That'd be like, sister.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sister. So she posted something about Nick Cannon. Hold on. I'm trying to get to the actual tweet so I can. I've been tweeting this week, y'all.
Yes, you have.
Not even that much, but I've been tweeting.
You've been tweeting.
She said, what kind of penis does Nick Cannon have? ! Exclamation point. Because at this point, with this NeNe gif.
Oh, I did see that one.
And when she tweeted it and I saw it, I was in the process of watching Handmaid's Tales. So I commented back, they need his ass in Gilead. And people went crazy. But for real, though.
I can't. They do. It's.
But for real, though.
I mean, whatever, Nick. Like, the thing is, we get on Nick about it, but at the end of the day, these women are clearly willing participants.
Yeah.
So it's a big thing with everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, love to those babies. That's all I can say to that.
Hopefully they're healthy and happy.
That's all you can ask for.
And taken care of.
Okay. Because he be having some beautiful babies. He does.
Child.
Weird names, but beautiful babies.
Child.
So, hey. Shout out to Natasha Bedingfield for doing the TikTok.
Oh, I saw
with
that.
The guys that kind of made her song blow up again decades later. kudos to her, because a lot of people don't give people the credit that they deserve.
Especially
especially black creatives. I mean, TikTok. I saw like this video about this guy giving the history of all the new TikTok dances.
Oh, the kid from Yale?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's given like a slangs good and history yep. about where they really originated from. Yep. Kudos to you, bro.
Yep.
Okay. So there's that on Nick. Also, A-Rod has makeup for men now.
I saw that.
It's like a concealer that he's doing.
Good for him.
He said he needs it between meetings.
Got a lot of money.
Get rid of, you know, razor bumps possibly and any type of blemishes and just make them look a little fresher for the next meeting. I mean, everybody needs it. I have no issues with men wearing makeup. Do you, boo. Do whatever you got to do. I'm all here for it. Okay.
I mean, I don't think anybody needs it for Zoom right now.
Yeah, no.
I don't put makeup on.
Hell no. For y'all that do, kudos. I don't have the time. I'm not doing that.
I do have the time, but I would rather use it on something else, like standing outside in the yard looking at Cardi for a couple of minutes or digging for snacks in my pantry or
digging
extra
for
sleep, you know, a quick little extra nap on the couch or something. But kudos to you guys and good luck to A-Rod. Jennifer said I'm moving backwards and he said I'm moving on to the Monty.
Yep, per usual. Also, T.I. is continuing to deny sexual assault allegations. He has asked for the women to put a name to the face. We'll put a face to the names.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, if you say I did these things, then let's get it. Let's call a court. Let's do whatever.
Isn't that already happening?
Yeah. Well, apparently they're working with this attorney who asked the state of California to file charges.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any official charges have been filed as of yet.
Okay.
But the thing is, most of these stories are pretty consistent.
Yeah. So, but they've also released all of them. So it's easy for new people to be like, oh, yep, this is what happened to
exactly, me. Exactly. So there's that. So we'll see what happens. I mean, they were quiet for a minute when the allegations first broke out, but it seems that they have decided to just say F it and they are back.
Mm.
Also, Russell Simmons is suing his ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons, after she has accused them of, hold on, let me see. Lawsuit against ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons, and her current husband. What number is this? Four? Five? I don't know.
For Kimora?
Yeah, she's had a few.
I have no idea.
I don't think she was married to Jaimon Hansu. No, I don't think they ever got married, but they had the most beautiful chocolate baby.
Who's that?
Be Us Free. Him.
Oh, from Amistad?
Yes, that guy.
Who's she with now?
Some
white
guy.
I thought she was still with him.
No, they broke up years ago.
I don't keep up.
It says recently.
I never was a Kimora Lee fan.
Not really. Recently, it was revealed that Russell Simmons filed a lawsuit against his ex-wife, Kimora Lee Simmons, and her current husband, Tim Leisner, for allegedly using his shares from the energy drink company Celsius to fund Tim's legal fees. It says Russell alleges that Kimora and Tim obtained the shares without his knowledge and consent and used them to pay legal fees for Tim in his ongoing legal battles. I don't really know what legal battles Tim has at the moment.
I got it here.
Okay.
He pleaded guilty. He was a former Goldman Sachs partner in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
He had to plead guilty to, I don't know yet, but he had to forfeit $43.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, the Wall Street giant set aside $1.9 billion during the final quarter of the year to settle allegations with the Department of Justice for arranging $6.5 billion in loans for Malaysian Development Fund 1MDB that was later ransacked by Leisner, whatever you say his name, and others. So apparently things about like bribery, I guess just bad deals, illegal deals with this 1MBD or 1MDB, excuse me. I don't know.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's white people problems.
I was going to say, sound like some shit that, that's a lot. Sound like some Erica Jane stuff.
Yeah. It's weird.
That is very weird.
It says they spent their money, like Leisner and his other defendants, spent money like they were living in a real-life hip-hop video. The men used the funds to buy luxury U.S. properties and yachts, along with art, as well as paying bribes. Allegedly, they laundered the fraudulent proceeds through U.S. banks. Goldman continues to deny any wrongdoing, though investigators claim the bank made around $600 million in fees for its work for this Malaysian company.
Damn.
So it's a hot mess.
It sounds like it. I mean, whenever you're trying to get somebody of a crime, follow the money.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
All righty then.
But let me tell you, when you said Russell Simmons, girl, why my head went to Russell Wilson? And so it took me a good little second to process, because you said Russell Simmons is suing his ex-wife, and I'm over here chuckling because I'm thinking he's suing that white lady. Like,
that white lady did him dirty too. She did him super dirty. Cheated on that man with his best friend. And now look at him, just married and having beautiful black babies. Just cute little happy black babies. Go them. That the newest baby looked just like him. Oh my
gosh.
Yes,
she does.
So like him. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Just adorable beautiful babies. Just I'm happy for
beautiful.
Them. Live y'all best life out here just starting companies and shit. And making
living
money.
My best life. Woo!
Demi Lovato has identified as non-binary and officially changes their pronouns to they and them.
I saw that.
Kudos to Demi. I am all for people living how they feel. So, kudos to them and best wishes.
Yeah.
Also, let me think if I've got anything else in the hot tops. It's been a slow news week,
honestly. There she goes, y'all. There she goes.
Last week was way more like cuckoo-ness. We didn't talk about Joe Budden and his bad dealings.
Yeah, I listened to...
It was an interesting thing, though.
Ebony K. Williams' podcast about it.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
It's an interesting thing. Quick synopsis. So essentially, if you've never heard of Joe Budden, he's a podcaster now, former rapper. He's retired. He's always been a talented rapper.
Pump.
That was what he's known for. If you've seen You've Got Served, you've heard
he's always been a talented rapper.
He can rap. He can rap. He just can't make a hit other than Pump It Up.
Pump It Up.
He has since... Keep in mind, Joe has a history of
being an asshole.
Of being an asshole.
And a shady Grady.
Shady dealings, all types of shit with music, all those things. So he moves into podcasting. Big ass podcast. The podcast was doing phenomenally well.
I never listened to it. I knew it was doing well, though, because Spotify gave him that exclusive deal.
Right, but they had really good chemistry. Him and his other two co-hosts, Rory and Maul. It's a male podcast, so it's a bunch of ignorance.
And I don't identify with male podcasts. I've tried, y'all.
You don't really listen to it for, like, facts. It's more of just men shooting the shit. So it can be entertaining. Lot of jokes. But anywho, about 2-3 months ago, Rory and Maul kind of were not on the podcast out of the blue. Everybody was kind of like, what the hell is going on? Yada, yada, yada.
So who was on it with them?
Him and two of his other friends.
Gotcha.
Ice and Ish.
Gotcha.
Very interesting fellows. They're older gentlemen, but they can clearly, like, have an intelligent conversation.
Okay.
They're smart guys. They have kids. Like, they're very much in a different stage of life. Mm-hmm. A lot of maturity there. So I like them. They're cool.
Okay.
But they have the podcast still. We're all very confused about where Rory and Maul are. Yada, yada, yada. Fast forward to... 3 weeks ago, Rory and Maul come back. I'm about to sneeze. That's why I'm sounding like that just now.
Let it out.
Rory and Maul come back to the podcast. They have a discussion about what happened behind the scenes as to Rory and Maul's initial departure, where Rory and Maul are talking about how they have been having these issues behind the scenes for almost 2 years, really.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't go into detail at the time about what the issues were. Mm-hmm. But Maul kept saying, as long as there's respect here, we can figure it out. But if the minute I'm not getting the respect that I deserve, there's a problem.
Mm.
He's like, when you told me, I think Joe or somebody, they had an argument. Joe was like, well, this podcast is really none of your business anyway, so I don't even know why you're having this issue. And Maul was like, how is this none of my business when I'm help. I'm the one that helped you get to this part.
And that goes back to Ebony K. Williams, where the business should have been outlined in a contract.
Okay, from the start.
From the beginning.
From the beginning, you wouldn't have had these issues.
Child.
So that happens. They come back for like 2 weeks. You can clearly tell that it's awkward. They're not really on the same page. The chemistry's gone. All this shit.
And my thing is, Joe Budden, I don't even know him, but he's not who I would expect to respect me. He just seems like a disrespectful man.
He is a disrespectful man. He can be very disrespectful.
Everything about his image and everything on TV has always been
asshole.
An asshole.
Yes. The women in his life, everything.
Yeah.
If you've ever watched him on Love and Hip Hop, he's an asshole. He is an asshole.
Yeah. The Migos.
All of it. He's an asshole. But he also
One of these guys, Rory or Molly. Are they the short little light skinned, chunky looking guy?
No, that's DJ Academics.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I think
nobody in hip hop music likes him.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens. Then Rory and Maul disappear again. No one knows what the hell is going on. Joe goes on the podcast by himself, full rant, assholeness, fires Rory on the podcast, tells him he's in breach of his contract. He said some very, very disrespectful things, called him a measly piece of shit, all these things. Nobody is surprised by this because has a history of doing shit like this.
Right.
He did the same thing to Charlamagne months ago, the whole nine. Meanwhile, Charlamagne hasn't said shit about this, right? He just did maybe a couple days ago. So then everybody's kind of like, okay, this is too far.
Right.
So then Rory and Maul do a response to what he said.
Okay.
Essentially, they were saying about the accounting, right? So here's the thing, y'all. They are percentage-based people.
Yeah.
Their contracts are percentage-based. Mm-hmm. So Maul and Rory's biggest thing was, which is totally understandable. I was like, this is simple. This could have been a simple fix. They were like, how can you not give us the accounting when we make percentages off of profit?
Yeah.
If I don't know what the profit is, if I'm getting 30% of nothing, like, I need to know. Like, how is that a thing?
Yeah.
So they asked for the accounting. Every time they said they asked for the accounting, it was a thing. Like, Joe.
So I'm
upset.
Confused. Were they getting the accounting for years and then just stopped getting it?
No,
so how were they getting paid?
So here's the thing. They would get paid, but they just wanted to see like a breakdown of expenses.
So they were getting paid, but they weren't questioning what they were getting paid and what that was rooted in for years.
Well, apparently they had been asking for years, but this is the thing. So when he got the Spotify deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe says he told them how much it was, all these things, but throughout all this, Rory and Maul had constantly been asking. And I think they said they got the accounting a few times. They had gotten it a few times. They said one time there was like a $400,000 issue. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what is this? So that apparently was supposed to get fixed. Mm-hmm. So their biggest thing is like, it's just the accounting. Like, they said he was sending them like spreadsheets. And they were like, but they weren't like in-depth spreadsheets. It was like, oh, this is how much we made. This is how much you got. That's the end. Instead of like them having full breakdown. So they had been asking for accounting.
Mm-hmm.
They said that every time they asked, it was an issue, turned into a thing. Joe started getting disrespectful, calling them workers, all these things. They're his employees, all these things. And they're like, we're not employees. We're not W-2.
Even if I am, legally, if I'm your employee,
I say even employees get the shareholders
a pay slip.
Report. You get
it's
a pay slip.
It breaks down every aspect of where your pay is coming from.
Like, why is this?
This
an
is
issue?
My base pay. This is like
what you. This
so
is overtime.
Legally, but my thing is they
let it go on too long.
Too
like
long.
That.
As soon,
the issue.
What do we do if one of our paychecks is messed up?
I'd be like, let me call payroll
right now.
No.
This is how you get fucked over in show business. Like you set a precedent of letting a person work you over.
Yep.
Without you being knowledgeable.
Yep.
And then they can build the argument of, well, I did pay them XYZ over time.
Yep.
Then they have time to fix and manipulate whatever the accounting is to support their argument. Like, y'all gotta, just like Ebony K. Williams, you can't go into anything without
without paperwork.
Paperwork.
Because honestly, like, this is, even if it was me and Deja both would be like, let's just get the paperwork together.
Yeah.
Because that's how you save a
once we start making money.
Oh, yeah.
Once you guys start liking, sharing, and subscribing.
To get paid, we will have paperwork. We ain't there yet.
We're not there yet.
But when that happens, I guarantee you, me and Deja will happily, and this is the thing, like, Joe felt like he should make the most.
Okay.
Joe.
And they probably would have been fine with that.
Right.
It's your name on the podcast.
Your name. That's fine. We just want to know where the money is coming from. If we're percentage based, we're not W-2 employees, we're not those people. If we are percentage based, we should get a breakdown of every dollar coming in and out of this bitch to know how much we get paid, so it makes sense. That's all they asked for. And it turned into a huge thing to the point where Roy and Maul are no longer on the podcast. They're done. Joe, he took it too far. Way too far. I called them measly pieces of shit. All types. It was just a lot.
But are we surprised?
I definitely wasn't. But it's a lot. And to the point of, like, now you just look like, you really look like a piece of shit person.
He looked like that before.
He did. He did. And that's the thing. They both said, like, well, we were naive in the fact that, like, Joe was our friend. Instead of us being like, let's just get this shit taken care of, we kind of just let things sweep under the rug, which men do that shit all the time and let shit boil. I'm not surprised by that at all. Hell, we go through this now. We both our men be letting shit sweep under the rug until they mad.
Yeah.
So that happens. But at the end of the day, when it comes to business,
you can't do that, man.
If y'all are friends, have, and that's the thing. One of the people on the podcast, I think his name is Parks. He was like, what you should have done is had somebody be a mediator and talk to their lawyers. So y'all don't even have to discuss it. Let the lawyers and people do that shit.
Yep.
That's what you're paying them for.
It is.
That way the friendship doesn't get interrupted. But you refuse to do that.
Y'all just be.
And this is why you're here.
Hopefully they can find a job.
Oh, they'll be fine. They made bukus of money. They will be just fine.
Well, did they though?
Well, according to them, they said we're fine. Like, we did very well. They were getting paid monthly. Spotify deal. They got paid million. They all made millions together. The three of them.
Got you.
So they'll be fine. But it was more of like they all kept saying like it's a matter of principle, and like if in the contract it says we're supposed to get accounting every quarter, why every time the quarter ends we're having an issue getting accounting?
Child.
So that's the thing. Like, they were like, Joe, this could have been an easy fix. If they felt like you make it look like you're hiding some shit by just not giving them the paperwork that they asked for.
Because he is.
Oh, for sure. He 100% is.
Yeah.
But, you know, that turned into a thing. You know, I haven't listened to the podcast in a while. So it's just one of those things where if you're truly friends and y'all really have been through X, Y, Z together, all this shit, both of y'all should be okay with handling the business in a separate, like, situation to move forward, like, to save a friendship. Friends and business can work well together if you do it right.
If there's not a shady person involved.
Exactly. So, me and Deja ever get some paperwork, I'm telling you right now, everything is 50-50. There is no 70-30, 60-40. It's going to be a very simple split. Like, it's not going to be no back and forth. It is what it is. It is what it is. And that's the end of it. Every time we make more money, 50-50. It's fine.
Right.
Like, there's no reason for either one of us, because we like each other and we're
not
friends.
Not because we like each other.
To go.
I don't like Kirsten.
See, you see how she did me?
I'm just kidding.
There's no reason for either one of us to go and do some fuck shit. You know what I mean? That's crazy to me.
But people just kill.
Go ahead.
I just don't like Joe Budden. And it's like.
Don't. I know you don't.
It's clear to me, like, people are friends with people that they continuously watch. Like, you're friends with someone that you continually watch do everyone else around them dirty.
And then it won't happen to you.
Come on now.
You should have known that at some point it would be you.
Even if you're like, okay, I'm willing to still be friends with this person or work with this person.
You should know.
That you need the covering.
You do. Because you need the paperwork in order. And I mean ironclad paperwork. So it never even comes to that. But y'all don't be wanting to do your paperwork because it's, oh, we're friends. Nah, B. If you want to save your friendship, have your paperwork.
That nigga ain't no friend.
In the words of Dustin Ross, read your terms and conditions, goddammit.
That nigga is not y'all's friend.
He's not. It's a lot. It was a lot. And Charlamagne has since responded. He didn't say much. He refuses to say Joe's name. But Charlamagne was like, yeah, Joe had the nerve to text me talking about some good morning. Nigga, I don't have shit to say to you. He said, the bridge is burnt. Like,
damn.
There is no coming back. And Charlamagne said, I can't sit here and let you. He said he went on so, and he did. Joe went on a ton of rants about Charlamagne, threatening up to bring threatened to bring up some type of rape allegations that have been going on. That's been coming up in the news lately, but.
Oh, I heard. That's what I saw.
They have already said that there was no DNA to support that allegation. Like, there's no DNA evidence. I'm not saying I don't believe this woman at all. Mm-hmm. We always believe women. But that's the thing. This happened apparently 18 years ago. All these things have happened. Joe has brought that up. A few people have brought that up on Charlamagne as of late. But yeah, Charlamagne was like, yeah, the bridge is burnt. There is no coming back and trying to be cool again. Like, no, you can't. No.
I thought what Ebony said was interesting, too.
What?
About.
How she hasn't talked to Joe. She used to talk to him
regularly.
Yeah,
she reached out and didn't hear anything, apparently. Yep. The only thing she can think of is because she's
on Charlamagne's network.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, that seems like some shit Joe would do.
It's just so petty.
It's very petty. Like, how old are you?
How old are you?
I know he's over 40. That's a problem.
How old are you?
But a lot of men don't mature till like 45, which is the sad part.
No, he's got issues.
He's admitted to those issues. So we know Joe has some stuff going on.
He's got issues.
But yeah, y'all. So that's what that happened. At the end of the day, have your paperwork in order. Mm. Have your paperwork in order. Any other job that you had, you will want to make sure your paperwork is in order. The minute some shit seems off, you already know who to call. Mm. You already know who to have review that shit. I don't understand why y'all feel like, because y'all friends, you can't get no paperwork.
Child.
To save a friendship, it's easier to have the paperwork.
Child.
Who child? That is that on that.
and that is that on that.
Yeah, I have no words for that. It's just, yeah, he's an ass. Bow Wow and Soulja Boy are going back and forth about this versus battle. Damn. Bow Wow has told Soulja Boy he don't want no parts. Bow Wow has way more number ones than a lot of people out here. Y'all gonna stop sleeping on Bow Wow. Y'all are. He has hits. The man has multiple hits.
I never sleep on Bow Wow because I had so many dreams of him, you know. I slept with him in my dreams for years. I won't sleep on him.
Yeah, and Soulja Boy responded, well, would Crank That sold more than all your hits combined, and I don't think that's true.
It might be. I don't know.
It might be. I mean, it did well. That song did very, very well.
But this is a versus battle. It's not about one song.
Right.
So that is the point we're trying to make, Soulja. I'm that currently going back and forth in a group chat with friends that all think Soulja would wash
what?
Bow Wow. And I'm
absolutely
like,
absolutely not, y'all. Absolutely not. No.
Y'all have lost it, but okay.
No.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Absolutely not. Absolutely not, y'all. But okay. Shout out to Issa Rae, just being Issa Rae and reading people for
that girl that said she wasn't attractive.
She said, okay, but we look alike. The fuck? They kind of do. Back in the day, like Awkward Black Girl days.
I'm done.
She does look like Issa from Awkward Black Girl. So that was actually quite funny. But yeah, other than that, that's all I've got. Would we like to move into the work playlist?
No, Kirsten.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. We need a segment transition into your segment.
What you mean?
Like, what do we want to do right here for your segment?
Okay, now let's move into getting real with the Real Housewives.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know how else to segment it.
Okay.
I don't have too much news. You know, Portia is continuing to, quote unquote, be happy and let love win. With Simon out here in the streets. It was revealed this week, at least via Portia, that Shamia actually match made them. Shamia commented on one of the pictures, and Portia commented back something along the lines of best matchmaker ever. So everybody is even more so like, what?
Very confused. Very confused.
Oh, so there was that. But per usual, nothing else really exciting coming out of Atlanta in that regards. Mm-hmm. This week we did have the series premiere of Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Starts off with Erica Girardi very much still being with her husband, mm-hmm. being very much married, mm-hmm. no issues yet. Mm-hmm. The actual premiere in itself to me was a little boring. Mm-hmm. Not sure how I feel about Crystal yet.
She's an interesting one.
She was throwing some shade and that
early.
I didn't like really, really appreciate.
Yeah, what is it with the girls throwing shade early? We don't even like know you.
They,
yet.
I think it's they feel like they have to like make their mark. Ugh. But my thing is, you're throwing shade about people whose cast that you came on to. Yeah. So that's why I don't ever like that when you're a brand new. You like, don't come in not like, being a fan, because yeah. if you weren't a fan, bitch, you wouldn't be on the show.
Exactly.
Don't do that. I'm not sure how I feel about Kathy Hilton. Mm-hmm. She's, I don't know. I'm She's just kind of up in the air still yeah. about her being on it. Mm-hmm. But one thing that my girls did not disappoint on, which they rarely do, is the Luke's hunty.
Per usual. Dorit, they always look good.
Her kids were crack me up when they was like, why are your boobs out? I don't like your outfit, mommy. And she was like, what? I love mommy Dorit. That's actually my favorite scenes
her kids
with her.
Are hilarious.
They're so cute. They're so cute. Yes. So that was fun to watch. As usual, I got my little bit of dose of Mauricio, the finest house husband.
The man is gorgeous. Woo!
And wealthy.
Okay.
Just.
He looked good for 50. Wealthy. The man Jeez. Is fine.
Love us some Mauricio, honey. Mm-hmm. And Garcelle looked good. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
You saw Cherie?
Yes.
Yeah.
She always looks good.
She always looks good. Mm-hmm. Cherie, by Cherie, we mean
ex-wife of Will Smith.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ex-wife and first mother, mother of his first child. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she was a friend of the show with Garcelle. Garcelle mm-hmm. looked good in every scene. I liked her little, I like how she's handling Rinna, because I feel like that's very valid.
Very valid, yeah.
Like, I'm not just going to pretend just like that. And that's some white woman shit.
It is.
Oh my God, we buried the hatchet. We're going to be like, no, Garcelle, I'm still don't like, trust you.
No.
We can be cordial. Right. We can be cool, but the trust has to build back up.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this goes, but. What was interesting, and people are going in on Erica Girardi about, is that night they followed up and had the entire cast on Watch What Happens Live. Mm-hmm. Erica was not there. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she's mentioned that she, quote unquote, can't do certain press right now. But the bitch was just at the MTV Movie Awards the other week.
Hmm.
So, is it that you can't do press, or you're just controlling
the narrative?
Trying to, at least.
Yeah, it's my thing, 'cause honey.
Some people are saying that they automatically don't think that she'll be at the reunion. We will see.
Yeah, I mean, they're watching her like a hawk right now.
They are.
They already said any type of displays of wealth they're targeted of taking her shit too.
And so. My thing is, my whole life was a display of wealth. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
Right. What is she going to do?
I can't drive my car. Right. I can't wear my clothes.
What am I going to do? Yeah.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's a risk to even be on the show. So.
Yeah.
And the whole season is pretty much done.
And I love Erica. She's one of my favorites. A lot of people don't like Erica.
I don't understand why.
A lot of people don't like Erica. Cool. They feel like she's fake. They feel like she's only on the show to promote Erica Jane.
I mean, most of them do that.
But I'm like, at least she has something that's actually successful to promote.
I mean, Candy does that shit every episode.
Exactly.
Welcome to the dungeon.
Exactly. I love her. I love her style. I love that she brings some Southern realness and flavor to them. I love her glam squad. I love, what's his name? Jim, whatever his name is, her head glam mm-hmm. person, stylist glam. I will hire him if I got some money. Well, he may not be able to work that magic with a black woman, but
I'd be surprised when the white men can do it with the black women.
Yeah.
I'd be whoever Beyonce's man.
Who's Beyonce's man?
His name is Neil. He's a white man or an Italian man, something but white. And he be working it on
her hairstylist?
Mm-hmm.
He's not white.
What is he?
Black, very black. Neil? He's Trinidadian. Yes, I follow him on Instagram. Shit.
He looks like a white man.
No, he doesn't at all. He's like our complexion.
No, not Neil. Hold on.
Her hairstylist?
Is it, how you say his name?
Beyonce doesn't have any black, I mean any white.
She, okay, maybe I'm wrong. What is it, Neil what?
Farina.
How do you spell it?
F. Here you go. I got his page up. I told you I follow him on Instagram. He's very black.
Oh, well, hell, my bad. Neil.
Black. But I mean, he has that. You can tell he probably, because he is Trinidadian, so you can tell he probably has some Indian
heritage
in him, but he's black and he identifies very much as such.
Okay. My bad, Neil.
All
I
he does is black hair, too.
Kills it every time.
Yeah.
My bad, Neil. I take it back. I'm sorry.
And her stylist is black, too.
Yeah. She does Chloe and Halle, too.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's phenomenal. Ooh, yeah, I don't know of any white.
I don't know of any white men that can do black girls' hair.
Not like that. Other than that one white man that was in the Good Hair documentary years ago.
Oh, you remember? That was such a good documentary. I loved it.
I watched it a couple months ago, and I was like, wow, it's been like almost everything in that documentary is null and void.
I mean, as far as the creamy crack and all
the
that.
The only thing that's still very prevalent and has grown is the weave.
Yeah, weave and wigs are a thing. A big thing. They never will stop being a thing.
No, especially now that we've moved into this, most of us being natural, these are protective styles.
Yeah.
But
the creamy crack sales, I'm sure, have
gone. Oh, my God. I read up on it afterwards. Yeah. I'm trying to.
Relaxer.
Relaxer. I want to say creamy crack, but I was trying to be professional about it. Relaxer sales have gone down like over 70% in the last 10 years.
I could see that. Because it's like, once we've actually gotten educated on what that shit does to your hair, people were like, ooh, I should probably stop that.
But my thing is, we were educated on it for a while. I don't know what exactly prompted it.
I think it was, this has a lot to do with media too. Like,
we see a lot more
black girls with natural hair in the media.
Yeah, but like, what sparked the celebrities? I really don't know how we got here.
That turned it into like,
and it was not like a quick like.
No, it was a gradual.
It was
thing.
A gradual. Shift.
But I think a lot of people, like for me, for example, I only had a relaxer for maybe 3 years. It didn't last long. But I didn't like, I think it's also a personal thing. Like, it thinned out my hair so bad. So bad. I think a lot of people just over time, like, I think our generation,
I was gonna say,
got older.
I blame it on the millennials.
Yeah, we started. A lot of us went to HBCUs, like a lot of things changed.
Not nearly as much as the amount that we're going when they were relaxing their hair.
True, but I think it's a lot of just our generation. I just think we did things differently. I don't know what the exact moment was, but I think it was a gradual effect of like, I'm wearing weaves all the time anyway. Like my hair is braided up. Why am I keep putting, it's just going to thin out my hair. Like I think that was the logic.
I don't know what it is about millennials. I can't exactly source a time or a specific event, but somehow we ended up being the generation that was like, okay, let's just really embrace the blackness. Like, let's be black, guys. Let's be okay with being black.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's because it's a culmination of other things. Like, we definitely were the dominating force in transitioning to natural, you know, us and how we speak up about and present ourselves in the media. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know what it is about black millennials, but we finally were like,
no.
Yeah, you're going to get these braids.
I'm going to wear my braids on TV.
You're going to get these braids. You're going to get this natural hair.
And I think it has a lot to do with what we were told. Like, so long we got told braids weren't professional. Kinky hair wasn't professional. Any type of, if you had an interview, you had to straighten your hair out first. Like, all those things were a part of it. And I think it was just a trickle effect. We stopped conforming to that. A lot of companies started saying, okay, we see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's totally fine to wear your locks. It's totally fine to wear your braids. Like, totally fine to do all those things. And I think it became a trickle effect of us saying we not doing that shit no more. Y'all just gonna have to deal.
Yeah.
And most people being like, okay. And
that was
the end
of
it.
I don't know.
Good Hair was an interesting documentary, though. It was fun. It was a fun documentary, but also very informative, very much a history on just black hair and how old people were when they got their first relaxer. Some people be like 4 and 5. That's a lot. I was like 14, but it didn't last long with me. I hated it. It was not fun. Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting thought process. It was a trickle effect because so many times I remember being told like, your hair is too big. Like you can't wear that type of hair to an interview. Like they're never going to take you serious.
I never heard that because my hair was never, I don't ever wear my hair natural.
Yeah. And I always wear my hair natural. I haven't gotten a weave in forever. So this is going to be interesting. I gotta get used. I gotta look for a damn flat iron.
Where you're using their hair,
as far
right?
As I know.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited. I love this hair, y'all. Free promo to black owned yummy hair extensions.
It does look good.
This shit is the quite
y'all
possibly
see the way Deja's holding his hair. Like we can see her.
This is some of the best hair I've ever bought in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I've bought a lot of hair, y'all. Mm-hmm. A lot of hair.
She has.
I can already tell this is going to last me forever. So the question remains, how many times do I want to sew it in versus when do I want to just turn it into a wig? I don't know, but this shit is amazing.
It's some good hair.
It's some good ass hair. And it was not cheap, but good it hair was worth is it.
Never cheap.
It was worth it.
Never cheap.
It was truly worth that. But yeah, how did we get on here? Oh, we were talking about Erica Girardi's Glam Squad and yes. if they could do black hair.
Yeah.
And so last thing on Real Housewives, we had the New Jersey Part 1 reunion, which was a little underwhelming, but it's not to their fault, because when I tell y'all Jennifer Aydin was slaying these hoes left and right.
I saw a few clips. I was like, damn.
Baby girl did not come to play, and I appreciate that. And it's so crazy because I love Marge. I've been a fan of her since she came on the show. But this season, I really didn't appreciate how she – I really felt like she was reaching for straws and looking for beef with Jennifer Aydin. And – Jennifer has actually really progressed in the show, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I wasn't crazy about her when she came on. But I also love her husband, Dr. Aydin. Love me some Dr. Aydin. That's a good man. That's a good man. I wasn't crazy about him at first because I thought that he might be controlling. But time has shown either he's eased up or we just are really seeing that nigga got a lot to handle when it comes to his wife. So. That's a good man. I love me some Dr. Aydin. But yeah, the reunion was pretty decent. I'm excited to see the rest of it and how all this plays out with the and fuck Melissa and Joe with this fake ass marriage issue. I think that's so for cameras. I don't believe they really are having issues in their marriage. Bitch, you've been fine with him. He's been fine with you. Stop trying to make it more than it's not, just so y'all can have a storyline. And that's on that.
Okay.
I think that covers pretty much all of the Housewives.
Okay.
New York was nah.
Yeah. Okay. Work playlist?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff for y'all this week. Not too much, but let me pull it up. I got some new Afrobeats jams for y'all because I went on an Afrobeats kick. So shout out to Burna Boy. He has a song called Kilometer. Kilometer. Kilometer, something like that. Okay. It's called Kilometer, but I really like that. This one person that I'm not sure of, I've never heard of them before, Ladipo, Ladipoe, another African artist, Afrobeats artist, has a song called Feeling that I really love and would highly recommend. Nice upbeat sound. Georgia Smith, I've been listening to Bust Down featuring Shabo, which I love. And then Willow. I feel like I can't remember if we talked about this, but Willow's new song with Travis Barker. Have you heard that?
Yes.
Transparency.
Pop rock era right now.
Oh my gosh. I'm a fan. I love this song called Transparent Soul. It gives me Paramore vibe, mm-hmm. circa 2007, mm-hmm. but also like fresh. I love it. She sounds good. The music is good. So if you like, you know, that punk rock kind of sound, or if you miss it, I highly recommend it. I haven't listened to the rest of her songs, but at least this Transparent Soul one is definitely, definitely, definitely a vibe. I really like that. And then just continuing to listen to Who I Smoke by Spinna Beans, the new little song that samples Vanessa Carlton.
Vanessa Carlton is a legend.
Busy.
Wonder where she is now. I hope she's doing okay.
The definition of a one-hit wonder.
Because I don't remember. She came, blaze, and dipped.
I don't remember no other Vanessa Carlton songs.
She's making still making bank off that song. Every time White Chicks comes on, she's getting a check.
That doesn't happen very often.
I've seen it a lot recently.
I haven't seen White Chicks in years.
It's been popping up randomly.
Really?
I
love White Chicks.
It's such a good movie.
I was going to say, has it aged well?
Yeah, it's still funny as okay. shit. It's okay. still pretty funny. I mean, obviously, there's some like...
Yeah.
But at the end, it's all jokes, and it's still very funny, and still top-notch white woman. So
right.
It's still very Karen. White one.
Right.
So it's like...
Karen from the Hamptons.
Yes, it's still very... my back? Very much white woman. Sounds so it's good. Still hilarious.
What about you, Kirsten?
Amorphous. This is the same kid that did the song with Fat Joe. He's got a song with Kalani out now. Mm-hmm. It's called Back Together. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
I wasn't a fan, but...
He's a talented kid.
Very talented.
I'm very, like, happy that he's having this moment. Shout out to him.
It's not him. I have not been feeling Kehlani's stuff that she... Like, you heard the... First of all, I forgot to mention that. You heard the new T-Pain song with her.
Yes, I didn't care.
Only T-Pain can sample T-Pain.
Yeah, that's true.
I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But I wanted more from that song. I just felt like it was just kind of like mediocre.
Well, that's how I feel about the Twerculator song from the City Girls.
Oh, I like Twerculator.
It's good, but you just, something missing. I don't know.
I mean, it's been out.
Yeah, I know. But even still, like, it's just like, maybe it's because it's been out. Like, that small little sample of it has been out for so long. I don't know, but I'm happy that they were able to finally get clearance to drop it. Cause whoo,
what took so long?
Whoever owns that damn sample,
are they still alive?
I think so.
Well, somebody owns it, even if
you
they
die. Sometimes they be battling with people. The estates don't be wanting that shit. Like Marvin Gaye's estate, for example, they really don't want y'all to sample his shit. Sometimes,
damn,
they really him and Prince. Prince ain't letting y'all sample nothing. He don't want his shit nowhere.
I feel you, though.
I mean, hey.
When you're a musical genius.
Yeah, yeah.
When R. Kelly dies, can people sample his stuff and we can listen to it? Like, will it be okay if it's going to his kids?
I don't. Is it going to his kids, though? Because according to his ex-wife, he don't be doing shit for them kids.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't really own his stuff, does he?
No,
I don't know.
I don't think he does. I think whoever. I can't wait for him to croak
so we can listen to his music again.
I don't remember who his record label is to know if he owns it. I don't think he owns. He owns other people's shit for sure. Like he owns some Aaliyah stuff. He owns.
Only the first album that he wrote.
Yeah.
But that's another one. Ooh! Whoo!
They started the Aaliyah YouTube page. So apparently it's coming slowly but surely, but I don't think it should have taken this long to put her stuff on streaming.
Just rude. Why are y'all doing this?
Well, I think it's because of the fact, and I could be completely wrong here, but I think it has a lot to do with so many people after Aaliyah died tried to get her music on so much shit. You know what I mean? Like
I need examples.
I don't know people, but I'm thinking, as we've seen in the past, what was it, that shit that was on Lifetime, that Aaliyah thing Wendy Williams tried to do? Trash.
I didn't watch that.
It was trash. Oh. Y'all, don't ever watch it. Trust me. Yeah. You could hold 2 hours. And I think also, I just think they're trying to, and this is me trying to bail them out too, but I think they're trying to hold her stuff for some big thing. I wouldn't be surprised if like they did an Aaliyah biopic, dropped her shit on streaming, and YouTube all on like the same day. Granted, I would like for it now. I would.
My thing is, they haven't had that. If that would be the case, they haven't had that play out or that layout, that plan. Sorry, I combined a plan and layout, and it was a play out. They haven't had that in their minds for all this time.
How long has it been? Almost 20 years, right?
Aaliyah died before streaming was ever a thing.
Did she die in 2000 or 2001?
I think 2000. Maybe
it's been over two decades, I think.
Aaliyah died before iPods, 2001.
Yeah, okay. This was like right before 9/11.
This is fifth grade. Yeah. Like, so we've been waiting now. Let's say streaming got popular about 10 years ago now, 2010.
Okay.
Right around then is when we started to see the transition into some sort of some form of streaming. Yeah. It really skyrocketed in the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, y'all haven't been thinking about that for that long.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I wonder what the motivation behind holding her music was, because there's a lot of money that could be made off Aaliyah's music.
A lot.
I don't know. I guess that's a question for her family.
I know there's always been some sort of like back and forth about who should own it, because I think people like Timbaland and Missy, who are the main producers of her latter albums, feel like they should have some say. Mm-hmm. But then there's always, I think, some weirdness around, like, I don't know. It's a lot
involved with that.
Apparently Aaliyah was somewhat estranged from some of her family. Mm-hmm. because y'all low-key sold her off to R. Kelly, but that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day.
Which y'all refuse to, like, own up to, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by it, but it's just interesting, like, the amount of denial that they go in about this relationship that we pretty much all know is true.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
Exactly. But it makes me so mad because there's very few artists that have such beautiful, complete bodies of work.
Yeah.
And Aaliyah is one of them.
Yeah. Her shit is low-key timeless.
It really is. It's every good. Time I hear one of those songs, any song.
It just makes you happy.
I'm like, God, girl.
Y'all really got to put her shit on streaming.
I loved her as a child.
Yeah. She was great. Everybody wanted the bang, the left eye bang.
The relaxed bang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You got any professional clapbacks?
Y'all. Did I write down? I knew I thought of something earlier this week, but they wore me out. No, I didn't write it down. Bless you, Kirsten.
I've been waiting on that one. Woo.
You've been feeling it?
Yes.
I'm so sorry, Lord. But I'm glad you got it out.
Me too.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I really don't have a professional clapback this week. I honestly, towards the end of this week, was just feeling really like, meh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Sometimes your professional clapback just has to be to get a new job.
You've said that before.
And that's what I did this week. Same company, y'all. I'm not making major switches, but I am moving into a new role.
This isn't customer facing, is it?
No.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's the clapback.
Yeah.
That's I'm sick beautiful. Of y'all niggas.
Yeah.
As I argue with y'all on a Friday at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
Like, that sometimes
customer facing shit is hard.
It can wear you down. Yeah. And technically in my role, they're not fully customers. Mm-hmm. They are truly partners.
Okay.
Because ultimately the consumer is the customer. Mm-hmm. But it's just, oh my gosh. Whew, so that is my clapback. I'm so excited for my new role. I'll keep y'all posted on how that goes and how that eventually starts to stress me out, but I'm excited
You'll
about it nonetheless.
Fine.
Yeah, no.
Visual will do well. Yeah, I don't miss customer facing shit at all. At all. I mean, I still deal with people.
Every
but
now
it's an
and
internal
then.
Internal thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I can deal with that.
Yeah,
it's
because
the customers that get on your goddamn nerves.
The internal people, when you're interacting with them, you know they have a set of like
knowledge,
yeah. Professionalism, communication, mm-hmm. expectations.
Yep.
That you all, that's why you guys were hired mm-hmm. at the same company. Mm-hmm. You all embody that. But when you're dealing with partners, it's like, yo, you are the most ignorant, mm-hmm. sometimes entitled, mm-hmm. sometimes dumb. How did mm-hmm. you get in this position of mm-hmm. leadership? Like, you don't have any common sense.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to work with you.
Yep.
It's just, ugh. And then it's crazy when you're in between.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to try and make the internal people that you work with that only work internal facing understand yeah. the roadblocks yeah. and the dilemmas that you have working with partners. And they're like, well, I don't understand. Why would they just not show up?
We don't know.
I don't
that
know.
It happens. What
they
do
don't have the
say?
Same business ethics as we have.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, everybody don't work the same. And I feel like more people should understand that.
But if you've never really been in a customer facing
yeah,
role, that's when that came up with something else this week, what was it where I was talking to someone? I feel like it was you, but maybe not. How, no. It was my mother. How sometimes you run into the issue, basically just placing so much value on starter jobs, food service, retail.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, when you start working on those in high school and college, people do not place the value on them that they build
yeah.
in life skills
yeah,
because
do.
You can see it when you have people come into the real world and they don't know how to deal with like simple customer issues
mm-hmm.
or simple day-to-day fires.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you talk to them or you look at their resume and you didn't, this is your first real job.
Yeah. You
like,
can tell.
Bitch, do you know how I learned to deal with people was literally the core of Justice and Express.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For 7 years.
It was Nike. Yeah.
That is how I know how to deal
mm-hmm.
with people. That is
mm-hmm.
where how I created my own personal boundaries
yep.
that I still have in place today.
Yep.
How I know how to frame questions,
yep.
frame phrases. Like, if y'all didn't, whoo, that should be a requirement. Y'all worried about these degrees. You need to make, some of these high paying jobs need to be like,
You didn't work not an ounce of retail, nothing type of customer service beforehand.
We need you to go back and grind on the hourly. at least for a year. Then come back and see
go
us.
Go back and grind. Yeah.
But I've got a degree in I know.
Mm-hmm. But still.
You've got the book smarts.
We need the street smarts.
But I bet you $9. Not a full 10. I bet you $9. You don't know what to do. You have no common sense.
Yeah. Lord Jesus.
But yes, so tip of the week. I had to vent a little bit there. It's sorry, okay. Guys.
We all have to go through it, y'all. I've been venting to Deja for a month and a half, We all go through it. I don't really have a tip this week, other than do what makes you happy.
Uh-oh.
That's all I've got for that. I promise you, there's no backstory on this. Just do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel good. Living your life to please other people. I promise you, you'll regret. That's all I've got.
She's hard to do day in and day out.
It is hard to do, but I tell people this all the time. Sometimes you got to choose yourself.
Sometimes.
Other times it makes sense to choose others. Yeah. Depending on the situation.
I'm trying to choose myself more. I'm really, I got to say no more. It's been coming up time after time. Yeah. I'm taking a step back from Delta this year, this next sorority year. I got to take some time back for myself.
Yeah.
And I got to learn to say no.
Yeah, you can't do everything. You can't be a superwoman.
I realized that that's, I think, the source of a lot of my anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I was looking back and I literally have been non-fucking-stop since I was like 15. Mm-hmm. I worked all through high school in addition to school. Mm-hmm. In high school, I was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. I ran track.
Yep.
I was in student government and a bunch of other organizations.
Yes.
I moved on to college. Mm-hmm. I cheered my freshman year of college, was in school, and worked.
Okay.
I transfer. I worked. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I pledged. Mm-hmm. I took on a leadership role with Delta. Mm-hmm. Still working. Mm-hmm. Still in school.
Okay.
And then homecoming. I was leadership and homecoming commission. Mm-hmm. I graduate. Okay. I work.
Y'all should see the way her face is just slowly but surely showing exhaustion.
I graduate. It takes me about 10 months to get a full-time job. So leading up to that, I'm working part-time manager with damn near full-time hours and a part-time unpaid internship.
Okay.
A bitch should have said no. Finally get my job at our old company. Mm-hmm. I'm working. For part of that time, I work part-time. I moved to Miami. Mm-hmm. I definitely have to work part-time.
Yes.
I come back. I'm still working. I joined Delta. Like, it's just, it's always been more than one thing in my life.
But you also want to do more than one thing. You volunteer for more shit. No one be asking sometimes.
But yes.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, it's always something.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm forgetting something in my adult life.
I'm sure you are.
That I was doing. And I just realized, I'm like, this is why I'm anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I realized the very first time I experienced anxiety was my junior year of I think it was my real senior year. So like my fourth year in college, because I did 4.5 years. So my senior year, I was like essentially president. We call it commissioner of homecoming.
Okay.
I was vice president in my chapter.
Okay.
I was working.
Uh-huh.
And I took 19 hours.
Okay.
That was the very first time I experienced anxiety. And at that time, it was just like, I just feel like I've got these butterflies in my stomach at all random times of the day. Why is there always butterflies in my stomach?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at me.
Just anxious.
So that is a goal for this year. Mm-hmm. Even, and that is the thing. Like, when people ask me, I want to help. I want to do things.
Yes.
But I gotta start stepping back. I don't want to necessarily quit Delta right now, but I'm like, you know what? You'll appreciate this time back.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
You've earned it. Why not?
The goal is just not to replace it with something else.
Which, knowing you, you might, because this is you. Y'all don't understand. As long as I've known Deja, Deja always is running to do some other shit. Like, every time, I gotta go. I'm late. Huh. I'm late. I find value
in that.
And being busy?
Yes, like,
okay, so have you been taught, sorry y'all, we're just gonna go over, fuck it. Have you been taught that being busy is a sign of productivity and a sign of you, like, like doing shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like I don't the think, more you do, the more productive you feel.
I don't think I was taught that. Mm-hmm. I think that's just where I found value in life. Okay. And that roots into a number of other things, yes, that I'm realizing later on. Mm-hmm. Like this roots into me seeing myself as valuable beauty wise. Mm-hmm. I never did.
Okay.
That's where I'm not going to find my value. So I realized, okay, very,
so you
I
make was up for it in other places.
Exactly. I was told from a very young age that I was smart. So I always, yes, knew there was value in that.
Yes.
And then as I got older, it was like the contributions that I would give to projects, mm-hmm, or work or, mm-hmm, whatever. So that's what I found value in. So to me, it's like my value in society, mm-hmm, is in contributing to projects and, okay, things and work and, okay, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, I need that,
mm-hmm, to feel valuable.
I think so.
Interesting.
I think that's what it is.
Huh.
So I got to learn to just, it's, yeah, okay to, because I do, I need to feel, I need to be doing stuff to feel productive.
Yes.
I'm not the type of person that can fake telling myself I've been productive all day when I haven't.
Okay.
Bitch is going to look herself in the mirror and be like, bitch,
you didn't do shit today.
You didn't do shit. And some days that's fine.
It is fine.
But then I'll look around and I'll be like, oh God, this needs to be done. This needs to be done. This needs, mm-hmm, to be done. So.
And then you overwhelm yourself.
Yeah.
And then be confused at you being anxious.
I'm never confused at being
sometimes
anxious.
Sometimes you'd be like, I'm anxious. And I'm like, well, why? You'd be like, I don't know.
Sometimes.
You've done that a few times.
But that's usually when I feel like I don't have that much going on. So I'm like, why are you anxious?
Mm-hmm. And anxiety is a thing that comes and goes. Sometimes there is no real reason to feel anxious. Yeah. You just be anxious.
Yeah.
That'd be me sometimes. I'd be sitting there watching TV and be like, I have no idea why I'm anxious right now. I'm not, yeah, doing shit.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, it happens.
I'm not like, nothing should be stressing me out.
Yeah, but you do. You definitely should say no more. I think that. I've always thought that. I, yeah, just don't be saying shit.
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm going to try.
We going to see, y'all. We going to see. We will see in the next few months how much free time Deja has given herself to actually just go and enjoy things.
Okay. Because I've already been thinking about taking potentially a part-time job at Starbucks.
Ma'am, for what?
Because they need people. And it's extra cash.
Ma'am.
If I want to be the problem, if I, the problems that I'm encountering at Starbucks is due to them
the fixer.
Not having enough staff. They just need more people. Tyrell's like, you should take a break. I was like, no, I can't do that right now. But after this wedding, maybe I can. But I don't want to do that.
Then you really going to be busy.
I know.
You won't have time to do shit else. You'll be working full time. And then every day that you want to go just enjoy brunch and do other shit, you're going to have to go to work.
Mm. But maybe I'll like it.
Until you don't. And then you're anxious, I quit. And tired.
Then I quit.
Then you're going to feel a way about quitting.
I know.
Exactly.
And I get to drink Starbucks for free, though. This would also, not only would I be making money, but
you'd
this
be
was
saving
the,
money.
I'd be saving a shit ton of money.
What am I going to do with my friend?
Just a thought. I probably won't do it, but I really, them signs, I'd be like, you know what? If I, maybe just like one day a week, I could help out.
But is it really worth it then?
I mean, it's not like I'm doing it for the money. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We're going to see Deja's free time in the next few months, y'all.
Yeah, because I'm already planning shit I want to do. Me and my mom want to start a company. I want to buy a rental property next year.
Whoa, whoa.
It's just a lot.
What is happening?
I know.
What company do you want to buy?
Buy? I don't want to buy
one.
I'm
sorry.
Start a travel agency.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the boom about to come. There's some good money in that.
Yeah. And I actually do enjoy planning trips and stuff like that.
You do. That I don't think you would feel drained by.
Yeah,
you would probably enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, I gotta make some extra income.
Yeah,
that's another thing I put on my list for 2021. I want to have some form of secondary income.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah,
I feel you.
Take it. We're gonna try.
Yeah,
take it to the stars. You remember that song?
I do.
All right. Let's go, because okay. I'm feeling energized and I'm She's going to the gym
ready, y'all.
The B12 has kicked in.
It has. She told me before we started that she didn't get coffee, but she took B12. And mm-hmm. I was like, she'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So I got to go do some cardio.
She's ready. I did some yesterday. I walked
good for
2.3
you.
Miles yesterday.
Girl, walking.
That's all you need.
That's
sometimes.
All you need.
I was like, whew, all right, let's do it. But by like 4:30, I was like, I probably should take a nap.
Yeah.
I needed a nap, but it was good. Like, I just felt better because I was productive and I worked out, because I haven't been doing that on the weekends. I've just been chilling, but I'm like, I need to do something.
Yeah,
so I felt good. Either way, y'all have a great day, great
yes.
week, great weekend, whatever day you decide to listen to this. like, share, subscribe, tell a friend about us.
No emails, right?
No emails, I've checked.
Okay.
And we'll talk to y'all in 2 weeks, because we won't be here next week. It's Memorial Day weekend, and Deja's having a wedding. She's already
married,
but she's having a wedding. So this is what we're doing.
Finally.
Almost there. Almost to the finish line.
Finally. My God.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.